To the Gastroenteritis Blues. My name is Steve Whitman, joined by Dan Volpone on a No Girls Allowed special of the Gastroenteritis Blues. Emily Cannell is not here. What is she doing? What is she doing? She is someplace.
Yeah, she's somewhere.
She's somewhere. But she's not here. And usually she's not here when we have guests, but we don't have guests this week. Nor is Drew. Drew's not here. So it's just the two of the original three, me and Dan. Dan, I start with a question. Who is your favorite current Eagle?
Oh, that's interesting.
Thank you so much.
I've never really thought about it, but I don't know. I feel like there's been so much turnover the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Devontae Smith, but I'm very excited to see Jordan Davis. So he might become my favorite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, who is your favorite current Eagle?
Ooh, you know, I am inclined to say.
What is going on this morning?
No, I don't know. I've got a lot of phlegm. I woke up fairly.
We're
going to
get a lot of complaints about this.
Yeah. I woke up this morning. I had a coffee and some water, and then I made myself my normal breakfast, which is egg whites, sweet potato, my everyday morning, and then hot sauce. That's my everyday breakfast. That's Stevie the Lips morning breakfast. Anyway, you know, I'm inclined to say one of the longtime Eagles, you know, Brandon Graham, Kelsey. I think Kelsey is Emily's favorite Eagle ever, and he's the best. But I'm very into some of the newer guys, like AJ Brown. I think is going to become people's favorite Eagle very quickly. Jalen Hurts, from a personality standpoint, absolute fucking in love with him. You know, of course we talk about this every year, but I worry that he's just not good enough to be the quarterback forever. But we're going to talk about the Eagles in the second half of the podcast, but. In love with him as a human being. I think he's the coolest. You know, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse on this one, but I love Josh Sills. So, yeah, everybody loves Josh Sills. All right. The Sixers actually did have one thing happen this week. I was making a joke and I felt like you weren't listening. Josh Sills is like the undrafted rookie guard that made the roster, and everybody was surprised.
Didn't even think about it. And then I was like, wait, who is he talking about?
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but he's a guy that made the roster. All right. A thing that happened this week is that the Sixers went ahead when everybody was like, all right, they're not signing a veteran big man. It's like B-Ball Paul or Charles Bassey to back up Embiid. Well, they did. They signed free agent center Montrezl Harrell to a 2-year deal, the second year as a player option. In his tweet, Woj said, Harrell brings more toughness to a team searching for it this offseason. He was sixth man of the year with Doc Rivers and Sam Cassell in 1920 with the Clippers. Yes, this summer, Harrell had charges of marijuana trafficking, that were expunged from his record. If after 12 months, Harrell gets into no further legal trouble, important to note that, of the arrests, that's a cool one. That, we're pro that. That's cool. That's fine. And also that shouldn't be something you get arrested for. Obviously he had a lot of it on him, so probably carry less, but, you know, pro that, don't worry about it. James Harden played a part in bringing Harrell to Philadelphia too, both with his contract creating roster flexibility and recruiting him to take on the role of backup center with the Sixers. They have a history together with the Rockets. Now, everybody on the internet had the exact same opinion about this signing. Everybody went to their Twitter. Yes, they all went in and they said, this is a great signing for the regular season and at the minimum, because Harrell is good, but I'm worried about Doc Rivers playing too much in the playoffs. Like Harrell's a really good scorer, and in the pick and roll will be good with Maxey and Harden. But Rivers infamously overplayed him in that playoff series that eventually got him like fired essentially in the bubble. And what's to lead us to believe he won't do the same exact thing here? Basically zero more minutes for B-ball Paul when Embiid is playing. And yeah, so I don't know if you have a diverging opinion from that, but that's essentially how I feel. What do you think?
I mean, I guess I just disagree with the Harrell is good take. I don't really think he's that good anymore. He's not a good rebounder on a team that desperately needed rebounding. I'm not sure, like everyone talks about, like, oh, the Sixers needed tough guys. Like, I don't know, guys who just, might get in fights sometimes and pick up a lot of technicals doesn't mean you, like, play tough. Like, I think PJ Tucker plays tough, you know? Like, does Harrell? Like, I don't really know. Like, Dwight Howard led the league in technicals and, you know, pissed off, you know, Udonis Haslam to the point he used his only minutes of the season to, you know, try to fight Howard. But did that make him like a tough player? Like, I don't, probably not. Like, I think that it was kind of a criticism for a while that, like, as big as he wasn't that tough. And so I don't know, like, I wasn't super excited about it. I think he's fine. It's not like it was a bad value for the contract. Like, it's a minimum. I don't care, get whoever. But the fact that, you know, you just know that there's going to be guaranteed minutes for him here. I think B-ball Paul might be better right now, and definitely if you give him a full regular season of consistent minutes, would be certainly much better by the playoffs. So I don't mind that they're using their salary cap space on a guy I don't love or whatever. It's a minimum contract, but I would have much rather seen B-ball Paul, and not just for like, oh, Doc's gonna overplay Harrell, but like, I don't think he's that great anymore. And I, you know, I'm not watching like a ton of, you know, Hornets games or, you know, or Wizards games, because those were the two teams he was on last year. But every time I saw him, I was not super impressed. And, you know, he's not young anymore. He's 28, he'll be 29. And like I said, my biggest concern really is, he's not tall and he's not a good rebounder. And the Sixers so badly needed rebounding. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes, but I'm not like super sold on it for reasons beyond just like complaining about Doc, which I'm not saying they're not valid, but like for his own reasons, like, I don't think that he's a guy that I feel good enough about to like just give up on trying to develop B-ball Paul to be a good player in the playoffs.
Yeah, I just, you know, he was 9 rebounds per 36. I would have kind of just rather them not done anything here. Like, I just kind of figure it out, and then you can get somebody else if B-ball Paul is just not very good or if you need to figure out a third center. Now, I do think that they probably think that they need 3 centers because Joel is probably going to not play 15 games and you need a third center in there. And I think that there is sense in that. The problem is that Harrell is absolutely the second center. You know what I mean? Like that's, there's no question. He doesn't sign here unless he's without a doubt the second guy. And frankly, probably like, in a lot of cases should be, because he's all the numbers about his offense are very good. Like when measured against everybody else at the rim, he's great. And he gets fouled a ton. He'll get them in a bonus. Like all of that stuff is real, but like he's not a good defender by any measure, not on the perimeter and not on switches and not at the rim. Like he's just not, he's limited. And he's a high effort and high energy guy. Fans will, I think, be very into him, and fighting obviously will help us get through the season. That's a lot of fun. I'm into that. But yeah, and Doc's in love with him, and that's going to be a bummer. And so, yeah, it's and Vivo Paul's now the third guy, and it's just, it's, we all see this happening, and as a reminder to fans, Daryl Morey's the one that signs the players. I know that Doc has an affinity for this guy, but Daryl is the guy over him on the chart.
Daryl also drafted him.
Yeah, Daryl drafted him.
He's a Daryl kind of guy. Right.
He's a Daryl guy.
Advanced numbers are I think better than we would think he is.
Yeah.
You can't just, I don't like this one. This one was Doc. Ridiculous way to view things.
Anyway. Yeah, he has a Daryl connection too. He's got a Harden connection. I don't think we can just say that this is like a Doc olive branch. I think
so many people have, we've talked about this, so many people have decided that the way they're going to view the Sixers is good things were Daryl, bad things were Doc.
Yeah, Trill has a tweet. So it's like all the good moves are,
Daryl is infallible. It's like he is like a deity. He just sees things objectively. And it's like, that's so crazy. Like he's a human being who has made plenty of mistakes over his career and plays the media really well and is playing the fans really well because none of them think that he can do any wrong.
Yeah, maybe it'll work out. They could flip him at the deadline in some tiny deal, because I do think in the regular season, it'll probably be a positive, he's a high energy guy. He's going to score points for them in the regular season. He's going to really run the pick and roll. I remember this big Zach Lowe article with Harrell and Lou Williams, because they had this incredible pick and roll with the Clippers. Yeah.
And then they were both unplayable in the playoffs, but Doc played them
anyway. No, exactly. But what I'm saying is that article came out in the middle of a regular season when they were both six man of the year, leading the pack. And it was they can't guard this two man tandem. And of course, you can't play either of them in the playoffs for long. But that helps win a ton of regular season games. And AU wrote an article for the Ricky website about that'll help get Joel through the playoffs, and that'll help, all of that kind of stuff will add up. But at the end of the day, in the spring, if that undoes the playoff success of the team, then you're in a bad spot. So if he's still on the roster then, and you're still relying on him then you're kind of in a bad situation. Obviously, B-Ball Paul, close friend of the podcast, we keep in touch. Puts him in a tough situation. Did you see his tweet that he is now deleted after this signing?
No.
Oh man, if Drew was here, he could Google it. Because I think a website probably wrote about it, but a fan tweeted at him after this signing that who said to him Paul, I need to know how you're feeling right now. # get rid of Coach Rivers right now. And Paul quote tweeted it, being like, I ain't focused on no one but myself. So him quote tweeting a tweet that tagged or that hashtagged get rid of Coach Rivers and about the Harrell signing was very funny. And it had 2,000 likes on it. Do you have it?
No, but I would like to say that I lost a most likely game where I said B-Ball Paul was most likely to try to get Doc fired this year.
That's funny.
It has happened exactly as I said it would happen. And I didn't win that one, but I'm just saying.
So if I wish I could, I wish somebody had that, because I had this bookmarked and then I saw that it was gone and I was like, oh no, Paul got rid of it. So smart of him to get rid of it, and I would imagine that somebody, Daryl, once he stopped looking at yoga pants, he probably took a look at that. And Daryl looking at asses.
Yeah, Daryl is Daryl's fully horny on his main account.
Daryl's making trades and doing other stuff. Paul not smart to respond publicly about the Sixers signing his, I guess, replacement. But Paul's a way better defender than him and probably a better rebounder. But
definitely better rebounder.
Yeah, so we'll see. But Harrell's definitely a better offensive player. So we'll see how it shakes out. You know, people are going to get hurt. And Bassey. So now the other thing that people have brought up is that now they're at like 17 contracts. Will they make a trade to combine some of these guys on the team? Furkan, did you guys talk about last week him getting in a fist fight? Excellent. Excellent stuff. Love it. To me, that would vault him above Matisse in the playoff rotation now that Furkan got in a fist fight.
Neither of them should be in the playoff rotation.
Sorry, but, well, yeah, but when you need to put someone in there, it's got to be Furkan or Matisse. Mm. I don't know what you do now, but I think that, you know, between Bassey and Furkan and Matisse and Queen, RIP Queen, Elizabeth, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Queen's making the roster. Bassey might not either.
No, I don't think so. But do they just want to waive those guys, or are they going to try to take somebody of actual value and trade?
Well, I mean, I think ideally there's some kind of 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 coming, but
right.
You know, there's no guarantee of that if that were guaranteed to happen already. So,
right.
You know, we'll see what happens. I'm sure the Sixers try to find something and try to get value for, you know, someone. But I don't know what'll happen because the Eric Gordon trade, which, I mean, Keith has reported Daryl's like still interested in,
yeah,
is like really hard to do.
Salary wise, it's just so hard to do. Right. Because I don't think they're going to do Tobias for him. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it would have to be like, yeah, Matisse, Furkan, George Niang, like would be a lot of players who played last year.
Yeah, you know, now that they signed Harrell, it's like, do they play any B-ball Paul at the four, in which case you could trade Niang, but then you got no shooting. You know, then you're really hurting for a shooting off the bench. Yeah. So, yeah, obviously now we'll be on the lookout for what they do with the roster spots. But I would be kind of uninspired if they just, like, wave Bassey and Queen. It's like, we'll see. Chams tweeted about this in-season tournament. Is there another word for the in-season tournament?
I think it's called in-season tournament.
Great. All right. And current NBA framework for the NBA in-season tournament as soon as 23-24, which is not this year? Not this
right, season. Next year.
Next year. Then who gives a fuck? Well, we have nothing to talk about. Nothing.
There's nothing happening in basketball right now.
The Cup games are through November. 8 teams advance to single elimination final in December. The other 22 continue with the regular season. All games of normal 82-game schedule, one extra for the final teams. And then the NBA and NBPA are still working to finalize the in-season tournament concept, which includes to-be-determined prizes for the 8 teams that advance to the single elimination round. None of this really, who cares? That's how I feel.
I think it's stupid. Like, there's one NBA championship. And right. If you win the second most important, championship of the season, to me you won nothing. Like,
well, why would anybody care about this? Like, why would the guys care about this?
I don't know if there's a financial incentive, but like, I don't know, I don't really care how much money these guys are making. Like, all except a few of them are already making an absurd amount of money, and it doesn't really matter to, like, oh, Tobias got another million for winning this tournament. Like, who cares? Like, congrats to him, I guess. Like, I'm not like rooting for these guys' wallets. Like, I'm not like spiteful that they're making a lot of money, but like, it's not why I'm a fan. Like, I'm a fan to like see them try to win an NBA championship, and winning this tournament is not an NBA championship, and whatever like minor incentive they get for it, I just don't care about. Like, good for them. But I think it's so dumb, and it like takes away from, like, there's one champion every year, right? There should be one champion. There's one team that was the best, and now you have a champion and like a kind of champion from the midseason. I think it's so stupid.
Well, it has to have some sort of implication that amounts to the actual championship. So
yeah, you would think.
Right. So it can't just be like a monetary prize because right. first of all, I don't think the guys, especially the guys that matter, would give a fuck that much about it. Like, I don't think it means that much to them. And also for the viewing public, like that, why do I care about that more than a regular season game? Like, I doesn't care. I don't care. Because guys have incentives in their contracts all the time, and I don't tune in more to see if Kelly Oubre hits another three. You know, I don't care. But if it has something to do with, like, if the Bucks win this tournament, they get to choose their opponent or something, then that's kind of interesting to me. Like, that, you know what I mean?
Win their first round matchup either way. I guess the East is deeper, but they probably will. And like, to me, it's like, do they get, are they guaranteed the one seed then? But you can't do that because the rest of the regular season doesn't matter. Like, you just sit Giannis. True. So it's like, you know, how
would they even do that?
Right. Because it's mid season. You can't say half the season for the winning team is now irrelevant. They're locked in.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't know either. I think maybe you get, maybe they get an extra pick. They get the 31st pick in the first round.
They just don't care about that, though.
Well, they don't. And and it's so remote that it really, like who cares? Like, fans aren't going to really care either.
Yeah. I don't know. Might stink.
I think it's going to be bad. And I think a team that has no chance at winning the actual championship is going to win because contending teams won't really care. And you get a
situation. And they're like load managing season anyway. Yeah.
Do you remember how annoying Jazz fans used to be about like how they didn't get enough respect and stuff, and now they're already blew up their whole team? But it's like, oh, like, you know, all the media only talks about like the Knicks, the Sixers, and the Lakers. And it was like, yeah, like people live there. And like to have a team like that, like it won't be the Jazz this year, but like a team that like has annoying, you just know it's gonna be a team with annoying fans that can't win the championship. That's like gonna make the case that like, well, they were actually like the second best team that year, even though they lost in the first round of the playoffs because they won the midseason tournament.
Yeah.
And like, or it'll be like, you know, people aren't talking about the midseason tournament enough. Like, it's a big deal. And like, no one's caring about it enough. And our team is doing well in it. Like, you know that that's gonna like the Nuggets. It's gonna be like Jokic should win the MVP for a third straight year because the Nuggets won the midseason tournament. And
people are sleeping on Chris Duarte in the midseason tournament.
Like, it's just gonna gonna have horrible implications on the NBA discourse. I am so sure of it. That's true. I hate it. I think it's so dumb.
All right, we're gonna go to break here. And when we come back, we're gonna talk about the Eagles, and then we're gonna play a game with each other. Truth or dare, spin the bottle, tune in and find out. Here's a break.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
We're back. Dan, the Eagles play tomorrow. You're probably listening to this on the day that they play. So this conversation might be null and void. But if it is, nothing we can do about it.
Too bad.
Too bad. This podcast is free, baby. What do you think about the Eagles this year? I'm all jazzed up. And much of the Delaware Valley is. And it's very exciting that a lot of the betting markets, meanwhile, What app do you use there to bet on?
I use or DraftKings, whichever one I'm vibing with at the time. I'm too lazy to like check the odds on both apps and then pick which. Like, I'll just be like, oh, I'm feeling DraftKings to open it. Actually, I don't think we can talk about this because Liberty Ballers is sponsored by DraftKings, so Drew might have to edit out the FanDuel.
I'm gonna text you. All right. all right. I'm gonna text you. Okay. Because
maybe we can leave this in, but we'll bleep.
All right.
We'll have Drew add some bleeps.
All right. Great. I'll text you offline about this. I'm getting a little frisky this year. All right. How are you feeling about the Birds this year? Very good roster. The Chauncey Gardner, what's his last name? Johnson? No.
Well, his last name is Gardner Johnson.
Great. He's great. Talks a lot of shit, gets punched all the time. He's great. Just a very deep, good roster. A lot is hanging on Jalen Hurts, of course. But also just like, the schedule is not among the toughest in the league, and it's just a very exciting feeling right now heading into the year. And would love to know how you're feeling.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I would be excited if I thought we were going to suck, though. But I don't think we'll suck. I'm very excited for the Eagles to be back. But I think the team could be really good. I think they have a chance to win the division. We'll see. I think people are kind of underestimating how good the Cowboys could be because they didn't do a lot this offseason and the Eagles did. But the Cowboys were like by far the best team in the division last year. And I still think Dak is a really good player. So I'm not sure the Eagles should be favorites in the division. A lot of people are picking him though. And I think they have a real shot. I'm just not sure if they should be favorites. I think that they could be really good, and a lot of it depends on Hurts. Possibly all of it depends on Hurts. Like, he can't play how he played last year. Cannot, right? Like, last year the Eagles had a talented roster last year too, and you know, only made the playoffs because they added a seventh team. They were what, 9-8 and got smoked in their first playoff game to a team that lost the next week. Like, cannot play like that. He was really bad in the playoffs. He had a couple of really good games. His first game last year was really good. It impressed me. And I hope he can come out strong this year. I know he had an up and down training camp. It seemed to really end on a high note. In the little bit we saw him in the preseason, I thought he looked good. And like you said, he's a hard worker. He's a likable guy. So, you know, very easy to root for. Would love for him to show that he could be the guy. Definitely not sold, but we'll see. I mean, I think he's, to put it this way, watching him last year, I thought he was basically interchangeable with Minshew. I was like, if there was a week Hurts couldn't play, and like Minshew, I thought did the same thing. Like, not a lot of arm strength. Like, Minshew was more accurate, but couldn't really run. This year, I think from what I've seen from Hurts, just in the little bit I've seen, he already looks much better than last year. His throws look more accurate, and He looks more decisive, better job knowing when to run, when not to run. So I think he already looks like he's taking a step forward, as you would expect for a guy who's a notoriously hard worker, and who has, you know, he's only played 1 year, so he has his rookie year under his belt. I think it's going to come down to what he can do, but I'm still not sold on like his arm strength. But if his accuracy can take a big step forward, that would be huge. And I think he's the clear QB1 this year on the Eagles, right? Like, there's no Minshew playing at this point would be a huge step back from Hurts, I believe. And I'm excited to see what he can do. I haven't been the biggest Hurts believer, but I'm definitely rooting for him. And, you know, he could do something good. I mean, he is a good runner. Like, he's not just fast. He's a good
runner. Yeah.
You know, he runs well. And, you know, the locker room likes him, which is important. And I think the biggest thing has to be, you know, it has to be being more accurate. And we'll see how it works out. But I am excited, and I do think Eagles could, you know, win the division, maybe win a playoff game. I don't see him like as Super Bowl contenders, but, you know, we'll see. I didn't see him as Super Bowl contenders at the beginning of the year when they won. So, you know, anything can happen. It's the NFL. It's a short schedule. and they have talent. So it'll be exciting to see.
Yeah, be a lot of fun. People are talking about, you know, deepest roster since when, and it's a good question, especially since that 17 year, like it was before that leap that Wentz took. Like nobody expected Wentz to have that year that he had and then never had again. Like, you know, so that was a really good roster. And then, you know, we never knew that kind of thing was going to happen. So,
well, and the weird thing with that team was like, we didn't even think it was going to be that good of a roster, right? Like,
no,
like you had Michael Kendricks having like his only great season.
Yeah.
You had Nigel Bradham was great. Aguilar was really good that year.
Aguilar had a really good year. Torrey really Smith, good. Like, you know, like,
they Corey just... Clement was their leading receiver in the Super Bowl. He was an undrafted rookie.
Right.
How about Patrick Robinson was like, people were saying he should get cut. He like had a horrible preseason.
Terrible. And
was like the best
slot in the league. Yeah.
Had the huge pick six in the NFC Championship game. Just like everything came together. Everyone played well.
Unbelievable.
It was an unreal year.
Yeah.
And they
all, I mean, that roster wasn't even that good. I mean, it was just one of those things that came together. You know, it's ridiculous. Alshon obviously had a good year, and he was playing with a torn rotator cuff.
He was great that year, and he had a great Super Bowl. He had the interception was kind of no one's fault. He batted up in the air, but he had the huge touchdown catch over Eric Rowe to kind of get him going. He had some other great catches too. So,
yeah,
great game,
good times. Let's do that again this year. Let's win another one.
I'd be interested in that.
I would be down. Go Birds. All right. What game do you have there?
I don't know. I could pull up a Sporkle.
Pull up a Sporkle. Let's do it.
All right, let's
before we get out of here.
We'll pull up a Sporkle. Let me share my screen with you. And you can pick a Sporkle here. What? We have to watch an ad because I'm not paying for ad-free Sporkle. Are you kidding me? Oh, it's because I have an ad block on. Whatever. Philadelphia 76ers trivia quizzes and games. All-time leaders, MVP votes. Which one is floating your boat here? Here's some more also.
Just not one of the super historical ones, because I'm only 21.
50 is. You're only 21? No, you look 18, but you're actually not only 21.
Let's see.
Should we just do, let's do this.
Yep.
Well, let's do the all-time leaders. Okay, all so right. You have to... All right, we have to get there. What? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 all-time leaders in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks in 6 minutes.
All right, here we go.
This is gonna be hard. All right, let's start with Iverson, I guess.
All right, Iverson just showed up in points, assists, and steals.
Yep,
Embiid showed up in blocks. We have Chamberlain. Will. Yep.
Only rebounds. Oh, you know why? Because he was barely a Sixer. He was a Warrior. All right, who else? Mo Cheeks, I think, leads them in assists and steals. Yep, and he's up there in points. Who's their all-time points leader?
Try Willie Green.
Of course, we'll try Willie Green, because how could it not be Willie Green?
Oh, okay.
Can't believe it's not. Okay, so Embiid's not even in the top 10 in points. Barkley has to be there. Who's their all-time leader in points? Dolph Shays up there. Okay, so Dolph Shays is third in points. He's up there in assists.
Try Hal Greer. Hal Greer's going to be.
Greer's their leader in points. Yep. Second assist. Good one. Who are we missing for rebounds? Who's between Shays and Barkley? Oh, probably. No, Moses was barely on the team. Who else?
Hmm.
I'm sure Daniel Olinger could do this. Like,
yeah, Olinger would be.
He could just list them all off in order.
He would be flying through this. Yeah. Put in Mutombo, or Mutombo was here pretty briefly.
I don't think he was here long. Yeah. Who else? Oh, how about Cunningham? All right, Cunningham showed up in a few categories. Who's their fourth all-time leader in points? We should be able to get that.
Would Iguodala be in there?
I think he'd be up there. Yep, he's ninth in points.
Okay.
Andrew Toney? Nope, nothing. Who else was on the 83 team? We had this thing. It was Cheeks, Moe's. Oh, Irving.
Irving's of course. Dr. J in there.
Yep. Who's second in rebounds? Could Ben be up there in steals? No. He's not. And Matisse wouldn't be. Not long.
No.
Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday was in here long enough either.
Yeah, who was just Sixers that were just here forever?
That's what we need. We have
Andre Miller wasn't here long enough, right? He was only here a couple of years.
No, he wasn't here long. Yeah. Who else was from the 67 team? We had Billy Cunningham, Wilt Chamberlain.
Doug Collins wasn't here long enough, right?
Like, I don't think he played got long enough.
Yeah. Blocks were really slim on here.
We are. We're almost halfway through here. We're not doing an impressive job, but we're also too young for this. So,
That's true.
How about, oh my gosh. He died recently.
The center. Queen, Elizabeth?
Daryl Dawkins? Daryl Dawkins. Yeah. All right, Daryl Dawkins.
Okay, so he's in blocks. People are screaming at their iPhones.
Oh, I know. We're doing terrible. Yeah. There's someone I'm thinking of and I can't remember. Old player. I don't know.
It's bothering me that we can't get the second leading rebounder or blocker.
Probably the same player. Who were Sixers centers who were here for a while? Mark Iveroni?
Matt Geiger?
Neither. Can't believe it.
Come on.
Oh, how about for steals? Could it be Eric Snow? Yep, he's 10th in steals. He's 7th in assists.
McKee? Is McKee on here somewhere?
Nope. Temple.
Temple.
Aaron McKee, Temple.
Yeah.
Second in blocks and rebounds. This is so bad. We might have to cut all of this so we don't get embarrassed.
Yeah, the pod will be 20 minutes long.
Who is this? Come on, Steve. You're older than me. You should be carrying. You were around for the 83 team.
I was. I remember. So fun. But we were on PCP at the time.
Henry Sims.
No.
Thaddeus Young.
Oh.
Ninth
okay.
Deals.
Do we think in that? What about Jason Smith? Did he get on the board?
Nope.
Do you remember him?
Yes. White guy.
Balding, yeah.
Everyone hated him around the league.
Oh, a ton. All right, we're under a minute here.
Any process Sixers? Probably not.
No, I'm gonna think no. Hollis Thompson, he's on a three-point list.
Yeah, there's no three-pointers on here. It's only points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. I don't know. This is embarrassing. Who's, come on, rebounds, blocks.
Half a minute left.
Who was big in here for a while?
Because we did that all-time Sixers article.
I know, but that's cheating. But I know I'm missing some. And I'm thinking of someone, too. I'm thinking of a big guy. There were so many obscure. But we also drafted a lot of guys who were here for like a year and just like really good because they only
had
to be here for a year. Four, three, two, one. Let's see it. Red Kerr was second in rebounds.
Fuck is Red Kerr?
And sixth and seventh in points.
Bobby Jones, we should have had. Luke Jackson, I think, played on the Phillies.
Samuel Dallenberg, Caldwell Jones is who I was thinking of. Theo Ratliff and Bobby Jones were 2 through 5 in blocks. We got none of them. Minute, we probably could have gotten at 7th in blocks. Clarence Weatherspoon at 10 in blocks. Steve Mix, Bobby Jones, Hersey Hawkins were 6 through 8 in steals. Larry Costello was 8th in assists, and Paul Seymour was 10th in assists. Samuel Dallenberg, Luke Jackson, Caldwell Jones were 8 through 10 in rebounds.
Sam Dallenberg, we should have had.
Yeah.
Should
we do another? One more?
I don't think so.
No.
Should we?
What? That was enough.
I think that's probably
2010's good. Top scorers.
All right, that we can do.
This guy would probably be happy to tell you that Ben Simmons never made this list.
The shade. Well, one time we met.
He didn't play that much in the 2010s. Like, I'm not a Ben guy, but that's not really his fault, is it? All right, the top 10.
Oh, this is only 2 minutes. All
right. Top 10 scores of 2010. Did we do this last week? We might have done this last week. Let's see if I. We definitely did this last week because it's by year. We already did this. All right. Can you name every Philadelphia All-Star from the 2000s? Oh, God. Is every
sport? No way. Absolutely not. It's every sport.
Absolutely not. Joel Embiid trivia. How old was Joe when he started playing organized basketball? I think 16, right? He was 16. Yeah, he was 16. What draft year was Embiid selected in? It's 2014, right?
15. It was not 14. 14 was the first year of the process.
No, 13 was, I thought. Oh, no. Well, 2012-13 was the last Doug Collins year. Then in the 2013 draft, they drafted Michael Carter-Williams. And then the next year, they drafted Embiid and Saric, right? Because there was the whole thing where
You might be right. Yeah.
It was 2014. Nice. Come on. Well's nickname. All right. Is it The Process, Browntown, Hinkie's Puppet, or Brother Joe? I'm going to go with The Process here.
Nice.
What animal did Joe falsely claim to kill at age 6? It was a lion.
Yeah.
All right. Which songwriter helped Embiid learn English through his lyrics? I thought it was Future. They wrote Eminem like the candy. I don't know who made this one. Do you have a... I don't think it's Kanye. I think it might be Rick Ross.
I think it was Rick Ross.
It was Rick Ross. What sport did Joe's father want Joe to play professionally? Volleyball?
Yes.
What popular singer has Joel Embiid been known for chasing? Rihanna.
For chasing. It sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it does. Which NBA player's basketball camp was Embiid discovered at? It was
Mbamute, yeah.
What continent does Joe originate from? Africa.
Right.
And question 10. What pick was Embiid selected with? Third. All right, that was easy. All right, redeemed ourselves with a very easy one. After
yeah, we really brought it back to our specialty, right?
Yeah. All right, very good. 100%. Average of 70. I'm not sure which ones people are getting wrong. Probably the Rick Ross one.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Very good. We ended on a high note. So
we did.
Let's call it.
One time I met Samuel Ballenbert through a friend of a friend. I knew some rich kid who had a private basketball court. We played there, my friends and I, really late at night. Samuel Ballenbert showed up randomly. He knew somebody. I don't know. This was, I don't know if he was playing for the Sixers at the time, but he showed up and was like shooting around with us, and he drank a full bottle of red wine, and that's when I met Sam about.
Was he a nice guy?
He was nice. He was nice, and he was doing fine, I think.
I'm guessing if you played pickup, his teams might not have lost.
Well, he didn't play pickup. Okay. He was just shooting around, and okay. I remember him him being enormous, but also not playing that well, and I was like, I think he should be playing better. But he was also.
Yeah, it was a bottle of wine.
Not quite sober. Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks for listening. The offseason trudges on. Gastro Blues Pod, Third and Girl, DA Pelts 13, Steve J. Lippman. The Gastro Blues, a Sixers podcast on YouTube. Go ahead and watch it on YouTube. You would watch this Sporkle as we're doing it, and you'll be able to enjoy it. Shout out Red Kerr. Go ahead.
The pod comes out tomorrow, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow is September 11th, 35 days from October 16th, which is the first Sixers regular season game.
How about
35
that?
Days, that's barely over a month.
That's wild. I didn't even realize
that. Yeah, it's sooner than we think.
Sooner than we think. So start getting yourself ready. Start getting yourself ready. We're rolling out a lot of new stuff this year, so get ready.
No, we're not.
I don't know. I figured I'd put it out there.
All right.
There's pressure on us to do that.
All right. Maybe we will now.
Maybe we will now. We love you. And thanks for listening. And go ahead and have yourself a great day. Go Birds. And be safe and be great.
See ya.